right, praise God. Welcome to the second hour. All right, so let's talk about Shavuot, the Shavuot wedding. So along this journey of many years, at one point, way back, probably in the 2013, it'd be about probably 2013, 2014 maybe, not sure. But it was quite some time after I'd written the article. And I was by myself in the living room, and I was crying. I was actually bawling because I just didn't feel worthy. I just didn't think I was going to be able to make the rapture at all. Now, back then, I didn't know the scripture quite the way that I do now, but it's still a very high watermark as far as, you know, a lot of people. Anyway, I pray that everyone that is listening is counted worthy. I really do pray for you. And I thank you when you remember me too. All right, the Shavuot wedding coincidence. It wasn't a coincidence. It was the Lord speaking to me. So I'm in tears, alone in the house, probably reading some book, usually about the Lord or whatever. And I am overwhelmed with sadness because I don't feel like I'm going to be counted worthy. All I knew is that God was coming back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she should be holy and without a blemish, Ephesians 5:27. So I start crying and I'm like, Lord, I don't feel like I'm going to make the wedding. You know, I don't think I'm going to make it because I just don't have it that together, you know? And so I started to cry a lot. And I'm just sad, really sad, because I wanted it so bad. And I can't explain it, but I heard, go to the mailbox. Now, you have to understand, I'm sitting on a tan, fake leather, isn't it all right? Leather couch, arguably. And I'm bawling in my living room about not being worthy. And out of the clear blue, I hear, go to the mailbox. Now, my head snaps up with tears rolling down my eyes, and I'm like, go to the mailbox? Okay. I thought it was so weird, but that's kind of how you really know it's the Lord talking to you. So I walked down the driveway to the mailbox. I have one of the longer driveways in the cul-de-sac, and walked down. And I hated going to get the mail for obvious reasons. Who likes it? And there was a stack about 3.5, about 3.5 inches thick, maybe 4. And I pulled it out. Big, thick stack. And on the top of that stack was a letter from the Messianic Bible Institute, or whatever they call it, Messianic Bible. You can find it if you search on. But anyway, they sent me this letter, and it's on the top of this 4-inch stack of mostly junk mail, and it's looking me dead in the eye. I'm looking right at it. It was the very tippity top one, and it said, "Welcome to this Shavuot wedding. Welcome to this Shavuot wedding." I'm sitting in my room, in the living room, bawling because there's no way I could make it. I hear, go to the mailbox. I pull out a 4-inch thick stack of mail, and on the tippity top, facing upright, it says, welcome to this Shavuot wedding. It's all on tribulationnow.com. You just have to dig. So anyway, long story short, over time, I studied different things having to do with Shavuot and the counting of the Omer and its association with Pentecost and everything else under the sun. But what really hit me hard was that I discovered that Omers are sheaves of Harley. And barley. You know, barley. And I'm like, wait a minute, counting of the Omer, counting of the sheaves of barley harvest, the wheat harvest, the grape harvest, Shavuot. Welcome to the Shavuot wedding. Shavuot, that's the first watch. That's the first watch. It's the first group of servants in Matthew 22. It's the first woman that was taken away with two wings of a great eagle, where she was fed for times time and half a time at the wedding supper of the Lamb. Don't you see how this all fits together? It's unbelievable. And when I saw that, it interconnected. I was like, Shavuot, barley, wheat. Wheat is later. And on and on and on it goes. All the tapestry is weaving together. It's the perfect story. First watch. Escape pod. I'm freaking out, man. I'm like going, wow, thank you, Jesus. I'm bawling. I'm standing at the end of my driveway, right in the cul-de-sac. 50-year-old something man, and I've got tears rolling down my eyes. It's amazing that somebody didn't call the cops. So I came back inside the house, and man, I am just... Now, you would think that at that moment in time, I would tear into the Shavuot, but it was the letter that was included talked all about how it weaves into ancient Hebrew practices and stuff like that. It's one of the things that I really like about this particular organization. Anyway, so that piece triggered me to say, wait a minute, harvests, barley, wheat, grape, first watch, second watch, third watch, barley, wheat, grape. Then I started searching and looking around, and the Lord showed me some things. I happened to be looking at Revelation 14 because somebody had said something to me that triggered me, and I said, wait a minute, I got to take a look at this. I looked at it in the New King James, and I was like, nah, I'm not really seeing. Let me look with the NLT, the New Living Translation, which is a wonderful go-to one. It's one that Charles and Francis Hunter liked a lot, and they were so anointed. I met them when I was a kid. So anyway, and by the way, How to Heal the Sick by Charles and Francis Hunter is a must-read. Must-read. So I'm like, all these things are fitting together like a glove, and it's over years of time. And then it hit me. I'm like, wow, this is aligning with the Feast of Israel. And I knew that there were other people that, oh, it's the rapture's definitely going to be aligned with one of the, it's going to be Yom Teruah, the blowing of the, all this stuff, you know, and most, you know, the vast majority of people who look into such things point to September, you know, the whole Yom Teruah thing, you know, that being the period of time, you know, with, you know, where the rapture is going to be. But there's another group out there that people have told me about that believe, oh no, it's more likely to be around the time of Pentecost, because they felt that it metaphorically aligned better with being taken to heaven, you know, because Jesus' ascension, right? And all the other things that come along with that whole story, right? Baptism of the Holy Spirit, God ascending, the fire, tongues of fire, all that stuff. So people were back and forth. They were back and forth and back and forth. And I, wait a minute. And I said, wait a minute. First watch, second watch, third watch, barley harvest, wheat harvest, grape harvest, Shavuot wedding with the counting of the Omer. And I was like, boing, boing, boing. I mean, it was like lights were flashing in my head. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's all three. But wait. Now, does that mean that the grape harvest... See, the grape harvest... It's hard to explain. I don't want to dwell too long on this, but we want to be all that we can be for Jesus. Okay? I was told by a man who's been taken to heaven several times that we used to talk on the phone, but then he passed away and went to heaven. How ironic, right? He told me that when we're taken to heaven, we'll be offered an opportunity because of the end times nature or what's going on Earth. I suspect, I'm certain of it, in fact, in my heart, that after the wedding supper of the Lamb, according to what Larry said, was that we would be taken into a room or whatever and asked. Now, I don't know if everybody will be. I guess so. That's what Larry seemed to imply. Do you want to go into eternal rest or do you want to take the mission? And Larry, he talked kind of funny. He had a little kind of a high-ish voice sometimes when he get excited. And he was like, John, take the mission, John. Take the mission. Now, suddenly I realized, because I used to wonder, how come, you know, you have these other storylines that are wrapped around the two witnesses and all that, and I would read that, and I would be like, okay, well, who's who, and why is this, and I was like, what about the tribulation saints, and you know, all these things, who's who, and who is who in the storyline? How does it all unfold? There are going to be Christians that were cast into the Great Tribulation, which, by the way, is pulled out of the Bible in Revelation 2, verse 22, where it says that if you don't, I'm summarizing, but it basically says, if you don't do what I'm telling you to do, you'll be cast into Great Tribulation. There's only four places in the entire Holy Bible where the word great actually appears before the word tribulation. It's talking about the last 3.5 years before Jesus comes with 10,000s of his saints and Jerusalem descends as a bride upon the earth for the 1,000-year millennial reign. And then we have to go through another Gog and Magog and all this other stuff. And I'm like, you know, but wait a minute. It's adorned as a bride. That's, you know, why would God bring us to heaven to sup with him, to be there at the wedding supper, to be married to our bridegroom, transformed into beings of light and love, and then send us back into earth to deal with another Gog and Magog thing? That didn't make sense to me. And then I said, wait a minute, the New Jerusalem is adorned as a bride. That may be very well a metaphor woven in to help us to understand how, where would the transformed bride of Christ be during the whole 1,000-year thing? Well, wait a minute, the New Jerusalem is adorned as a bride. She must be inside the New Jerusalem, which, by the way, is not a small object. It's like as big as the United States. It's humongous. I forget. It's huge. But it would take up a large portion of the U.S. just sitting on the earth. What do you think the people on the earth are going to think about this big Borg's cube-shaped, adorned, bejeweled, amazing spaceship? What do you think it is? You think it's just going to materialize? No, I believe with all of my heart that this thing is a structure. The New Jerusalem is a type of a structure. It describes it. Adorned as a bride. So, anyway, now at least you have the pieces of the tapestry that led me to fervently believe that there were three rapture events. But I had already written an article all the way back in 2011, 8, 9, 10 years earlier than some of these things that the Lord showed me. And then to top it all off with a cherry, because you got to have a cherry on your vanilla cupcake, your vanilla wedding cake. You have to, when you put all these things together, it tells an amazing story. But here's the thing. If you don't understand the concept of an angel becoming a man angel, okay, incarnating into the human body, again, watch Jeff Bridges, Starman. It shows you, you know, it's baked into the movie. The concept of a fit extension and create being able to create a fit extension and all that. It's there. I'm not saying it's about Jesus. I'm talking about it shows you better and gives you a better understanding of how an angel and a spirit body can incarnate into a human body and do interact on the earth so that it doesn't scare the dickens out of you like it did Daniel. So that you can have dinner. So that you can talk and still be speaking to an angel in a human body. These concepts are important to grasp before, once you take, because what's the purpose of the meaning of the woman taking on two wings of a great eagle? Do we instantly, like some movies depict, like vanish out of our clothing and our clothing is laying on the ground? I don't think so. Any of the credible, or truly credible, not just this stuff dreamt up by somebody who's trying to write a play script or whatever, a movie script. But when I've listened, I don't even know how many, but it seems like hundreds and hundreds of prophecies, dreams, and visions. Now, not all of them did I hold dear to my heart. Some of them I read and said, oh, I know where that fits in the biblical end times timeline. See, here's the thing. There's a dividing mark that's critical to put this all together. That dividing mark is the great earthquake. That is the kickoff to the sixth seal, the day of the Lord. Okay? That's very different than the third seal, which is global financial, or, you know, it's a financial collapse. Maybe it's only 25% of the earth. I don't know exactly. It's not very clear, but it implies global. And it could very well be, and likely is, the third seal. It basically says, you know, it implies essentially that, it, you know, a loaf of bread or whatever is going to cost you almost a day's wages. But that's just metaphorical interpolation. It's a global financial collapse, the third seal, the black horse. The next one that happens on the earth that's tangible and that we're going to see happening, and it's happening now, because here's the thing. The scrolls are scrolls. Let's look at the metaphor. I'm sorry. I'm mentioning the scrolls because it's the first seal, second seal, third seal, fourth seal, fifth seal. They're seals, and the seals are holding the scrolls together. But then it occurred to me, oh my goodness, it's all going to happen at the same time. It's all happening now at the same time. The financial, see, the darkness rises at the same time as the bride rises. The darker the darkness gets, the brighter the bride gets. There's going to be outpourings of the Holy Spirit. There are going to be revivals that are going to happen. When, you know, there is no such thing as an atheist in a foxhole. And God knows this. His judgments are righteous because they bring people to Him. When your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Isaiah 26, verse 9b. This is important to know. I will rise at midnight to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments. Why are they? Because it scares them so bad they go, Jesus! And then you have Acts 2, which is a repeat of the prophecy from Joel 2, which is, you know, it says, and all those who call out upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So our Father is incredibly merciful. Doesn't mean that people, every single one will. Every single one will not. And I don't even want to think about that. Let's stay focused on this, the raptures. Okay, do you want to be part of the wheat harvest? That would be a mistake. Because the line in the sand between the barley harvest and the wheat harvest is the great earthquake, which is almost certainly going to happen when Apophis hits the earth. Now, will a bunch of it burn up in the atmosphere, et cetera, and may it be made smaller by the time it impacts? We're still talking about a 1,000-foot tidal wave. Some had estimated in the prophecies, dreams, and visions that I have studied, and many I have brought on as guests to the radio shows, going all the way back to, you know, 2011. at different times, and little bits and pieces of what you've heard and remembered and documented in Word documents as you copy them off the internet, they start to weave a tapestry. They add to the storyline, and you know, then you start to plug them in, and you're going like, oh, I see, that fits here, okay, and all this. But you have to have that obsession. God made me obsessive. I am obsessive. So he called me impetuous. That's a long story. So anyway, so I'm very Peter-ish. Peter-like. But anyway, so how does this all fit together? So you would want, if you had a New King James Bible, you would see that you have the... don't get wrapped up in minutiae, because if you do, you'll fail. You have to keep yourself at a high level. When you start looking underneath the... If you spend all your time in the Amazon jungle looking underneath rocks, you're never going to realize that you're in a jungle. That if you were able to climb above the canopy, you might even be able to see the Pacific Ocean over Chile. Or Ecuador. But you're too busy looking under the rocks. You have to also be able to do your analysis of the Bible timeline from above the ISS space station, looking down, considering heaven, considering outer space. It's all part of the kingdom of God. What is the difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven? Kingdom of God is everything. The kingdom of heaven, that's actually talking about planet heaven. Now, and there have been people that were taken to heaven that had seen, you know, that it's a planet, you know, it's just amazing. I remember all these little details. I freaked out. It was part of my growth. But anyway, so, I'm going to read to you the articles. I'm going to wrap this together because I don't want to run out of time. I'm 21 minutes in and it can easily happen. I personally believe the metaphorical reference to two wings of a great eagle is, I believe that we're going to be sucked up. See, I was on an airplane one time, and I was pondering all of these different things, and I was reading a book, it was digital, and it was on my cell phone, and the author, John W. Myler, was writing in the book about how God looks at things from outer space, from north, south, east, and west. And we have to look at things from his perspective, not ours, because it's myopic, it's earthly, it's not going to work. The Bible has a lot of verses that talk about millions of years ago, and it has a lot of verses that talk about the future, even eternity. But people forget about that. And so they get confused when they're reading it, but it's really all of the above. So I'm sitting on this airplane and I'm reading this book, Aliens and the Antichrist, by John W. Myler, who's been on the radio show, I think, three times or something like that. But anyway, and he hypothesizes, he says, why couldn't the rapture be a super ultra faster than light speed alien invasion where spaceships come down and scoop us up and take us away? He's just asking a question. This is after he already explained all the other things that he was hypothesizing about the Bible. And he used a lot of biblical references. It was a really amazing thing. And I thought, well, angels do have to use technology sometimes. And then I wondered, wait a minute, what, two wings of a great eagle? Now, I understand there's a separation of time while I'm trying to connect these dots and I'm praying. So I'm of the impression or the possibility, we'll call it a sanctified possibility, possibly, that the two wings of a great eagle reference, which is only associated with not the woman that was chased by the water, that was a result of the tidal wave, which was a result of Apophis hitting the Atlantic Ocean off the coast of Puerto Rico, wiping out 22 million people on the east coast of the United States of Babylon the Great. Were there any members of the bride in that group?
Huh?
Yes. Here's the thing. I personally feel sorry for people that'll be part of the wheat harvest because they're going to go through some awful stuff. Isaiah 57:1, the righteous perishes and no one takes it to heart that merciful men are taken away while no one considers that the righteous is taken away from evil. Ah, wow. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Wow. 116:15 Psalms. So anyway, so I'm going to wrap it together because otherwise I'm going to run out of time and I'm going to just be so disappointed with myself. So if you go to, you can see some of this, but you can see a lot more of this. And maybe I'll even, I don't know, at some point, next week's going to get really busy. And I've got, there's a person who's very, 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 very down and out. And I told him I'd take him to lunch, you know, to do something nice for him. And he could call at any minute. So I got to really stay very focused on the last part, which is so important to getting this. Once you understand, see, I had these very anointed people that came on the radio show in some cases. Sometimes it was because somebody was forwarding to me a vision that that person had. It's so much information. And I realized that in one of the visions that a very anointed person had received, that the person had seen her and her husband were worshiping the Lord in their home. Everything was dark outside. And then they came out of their house after, I don't know if, I knew it was the 3 days of darkness, which is in the, during the day of the Lord period. Okay. And it's all interlinked. Okay. It's, there's an alien invasion that occurs in Isaiah 13, okay, and it's called an indignation, and that word indignation lines up with Isaiah 26 verse 20, where it says, go into your chambers for a little while until the indignation has passed. That's referring to those who are still here for the 3 days of darkness when the sun turns black as sackcloth of air, which happens right after the meteor strikes in Revelation 6:12. So when you know that, and then you stitch together the visions and dreams that I've been given by other people over the years doing the radio show and everything that I document, and then go back and restudy and say, where is, oh, there it is. For 40 days after the 3 days of darkness, the believers that are still on the earth and alive are going to come out of their homes, etc., and they are going to be saving souls. And that's captured in the last part of Matthew 22. It says that they will go, you know, essentially into the highways and the byways, and they will save even the good and the bad, and they will bring them back to the wedding supper as guests. As guests. In Matthew 22. Go look it up. So there was enough prophecies, dreams, and visions talking about, and then I was like, wait a minute, people, the final harvest. You would hear people talking about the final harvest. When the missiles come down, we go up. When the missiles come down, we go up. When the missiles come down, we go up. I was hearing that. It was just like all over the place. And I thought, wait a minute, that's the wheat harvest. Because when it says that in Revelation 6, 12 and 13, you know, in that, and it says that the sky rolls up like a scroll. The only way that the sky is going to roll up like a scroll is if a thermonuclear bomb is going off. But wait a minute. Remember that the elite will be underground. See, and then in Sarah Monet's vision of 1979, she sees after the giant mega tsunami that there are cities of light, but she sees the vast majority of them being in the Rockies and only a few in the Appalachians. That's because it's after the giant tsunami has already hit. So that great earthquake in Revelation 6:12 is the delineation point between the rest of the stuff that we're going through right now and the onset of the day of the Lord. 3 days of darkness, alien beings being cast down to the earth. Oh no, they're fallen angels, of course. Are there others? Yes, of course there are others, but these are being cast down to the earth. And then it's going to turn into Isaiah. Look, I maintain that Isaiah 13 and Joel 2 are both talking about alien invasions. And if you got somebody on your wire that's trying to tell you that that's the bride, chopping children into pieces and ravaging wives, like it says in Isaiah 13, then guess what? Turn the page. Don't be doing that. Don't go down that street. The Bible is mostly literal. Mostly literal. But once you realize that and you have all the puzzle pieces that you need to plug into it, you don't need to rely on metaphor. There is still metaphor, yes, but the number of metaphors start to disappear the more pieces that you have to the puzzle. And the alien piece, the fallen angel piece, the angels, this stuff is all relevant to understanding the huge picture here and to see how it's all funneling and coming together. Did you know that the Imam Mahdi, the 12th Mahdi of the Muslims, comes from outer space? I have a recording of Louis Farrakhan actually talking about that. Don't get me going on the L. Ron Hubbard stuff. And the list just goes on and on and on. And all of this is intertwined with the Masons, the Scottish Rite, the triangle symbols with the hands that we're seeing from Trump and all of his family and all this other stuff. It all weaves together into the rise of the Antichrist, the rise of the darkness. Is it going to happen in 2025? When is the war with Iran going to kick off? Ask Netanyahu. He probably knows. So, let's go back to these prophecies, dreams, and visions to kind of tie a ribbon on all this. If you aspire to be part of the final harvest after the 3 days of darkness, you're going to go through a lot of bad stuff. Because remember that in the parable of Matthew 22, the wedding supper parable, the feast, if you will, parable, the second group is persecuted severely. The second woman has the water spewed out of its mouth from the dragon. Oh, whoa. That water must be that mega tsunami from the kickoff of the day of the Lord, the sixth seal. It all weaves together. There's the water being spewed against who? The woman who is who? The other part of the bride. There's two groups. First watch and second watch. Now, the third watch are the believers, sadly, who got cast into great tribulation. Now, remember that when the locusts start stinging, they come from outer space. They don't come out of the pit because the smoke rises. Reread your text. The smoke rises out of the pit and it says that it covers the sun. And then the locusts come through the smoke. Well, if the smoke is covering the sun and the locusts come through the smoke, then they're coming from outer space. And they look very much like the alien creature in Sigourney Weaver's Aliens movies episodes all throughout the 80s. And Prometheus. Why do you think there's so many episodes? I have a long story to explain how I know that, but I'm not going to go there. I know it. Praise God. They come out of the sky, out of the smoke, which is up covering the sun. Now, let's tie a ribbon on all of this with some prophecies, dreams, and visions. Before I go forward, I'm going to call to your attention the David Doetry event in my life and then in others, because I gave it to others and I published articles multiple times about it, talked about it on many shows, talking about it again now. David Doetry was a man who spent a lot of time on his knees and he cried out to God with all of his heart. Please show me the rapture. Please show me the rapture. I can't remember the exact number of years that he spent seeking the Lord and crying out to him, to beseeching him to please show him the rapture. Well, It was so amazing that this guy in the late 90s or so would be given a vision of the rapture, but it included a giant spherical copper mothership, in the sky. Pastor Augusto Perez came on this program and told everybody that he had seen a vision of that very same object, and that it was encircled with many different types of alien spaceships. In David Doetry's vision, which we're about to read, he saw it as a major sign that the rapture was going to happen. See, David didn't understand the three watches at the time. He was just focusing on a singular rapture event. This is about the barley harvest. This is about the first watch. And I'm going to show you how we know this. Imagine that being the big event. Imagine all the disclosure happening, all the people, the Miami Mall incident. Oh my goodness, how easy it is to forget the aliens, the fallen angelic beings that were seen walking down, scaring everybody, hundreds and hundreds of police cars. How many people remember that? What about what's going on over by Daytona right now with these giant motherships going under the water, and people in the Navy are sending messages to people and telling them stuff that they shouldn't be doing because that's kind of against Navy regulations, I can tell you. All right, so let's, all this UFO stuff that is happening gangbusters right now, like never before in the history of the world have there been so much chatter. People are flipping out, and they still keep it hidden. Forget about Pam Bondi. Forget about the Scottish Rite. Forget about, you know, Trump. Forget about any of it. It's never going to be released because they need the surprise. There is a synergy that occurs between the dragon, Satan, Lucifer, and his fallen angels and his workers on the earth. You get it? But here's the thing that occurred to me. Remember this if you remember anything. Da 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 da. What if the fallen angels have their own timeline, their own agenda, and they're not willing to wait for this to happen on the earth? They're not willing to wait for that to happen on the earth. Maybe they jumped the gun a little bit. Maybe the position of Nibiru, the arrival of the Anunnaki, and all the other things that are going to ultimately become a part of the Great Tribulation. And Isaiah 13. Oh my goodness, the thing, it's just amazing when you see it in the Bible and you're like, oh my gosh, there it is again and again. I had Stephen Ben Noon, a Hebrew scholar and rabbi, a Jesus-filled, Spirit-filled, and he came on the radio show and talked about, does the Old Testament, have alien invasions in it? When I heard he was talking about that, I was like, come on the show immediately. And boy, he dropped everything and he came on the show and talked about it. It was amazing. Because he saw the same stuff I had already seen as well. And I was like, thank you, Jesus. The confirmations flow. Many, many years ago, when I first found the David Doetry stuff, which was posted on John Ting's Five Doves website, and it was also on Stan Deo's website, etc., Stan and Holly, I was like, I grabbed it and I said, because you got to remember by now, I already know that God has called me to deal with the UFO issue. And boy, oh boy. So anyway, I'm looking at this and I'm going, oh, that's it. Every fiber of my being lit up. I mean, I can't even explain it. And when I read it, I was like, that's it. That is it. That's it. It's it. But people rejected it. David couldn't find an audience for his vision in the 90s. In fact, quite frankly, he couldn't find an audience hardly at all for his amazing, vivid vision of this giant spherical copper-shaped UFO in the sky that was being broadcast on literally every TV worldwide. It was such a big event. Now I'm going to go ahead and read very first vision that I was given from the article Blue 21. Blue 21 was called Blue 21 because Woven through these visions was this repeating theme. I saw a blue object up in the sky as I was being raptured. Wait a minute, two wings of a great eagle. What is that blue object? Even David saw it. Two wings of a great eagle. Just weaves together like, oh my gosh, what about John W. Myler and his theory? I don't know, but it all fits together. Are we sucked up into the sky just as we are and later transformed? Do we need to be taken out of this hologram first and travel through the nebula, the Orion Nebula, which has a portal in it? Well, that's why God said in the book of Job, can you loose the bands of Orion? Of course we can't. It's a portal to the eternal realm of the Creator, our Heavenly Father. It's where the glorified universes live, not in the place that we're at right now. But the evil ones can't escape through it at all. Can God's holy angels come through that portal and interact with us here? Oh yeah. Or they come spiritually. They have different ways of manifesting, as the Bible shows us. First one from the Blue 21 article I will start reading right now. Quote, and by the way, this stuff was given to me like 13 years ago, give or take, maybe 12. This dream began as two very large volcanoes erupted. But when this, it says, a photo of the show of the seismic indicators. Oh, okay. The person included in the YouTube video. This was taken from a YouTube video. While the first one was erupting, many did nothing. But when the second spewed fire and ash, could that be Popocatépetl? I don't know. Popocatépetl. Randy Hecker, Popocatépetl. I don't know. But when the second one fired ash, the world's attention turned to it. In all, at least, get this, six volcanoes erupted very close to the same time. Sounds very Planet X-ish to me. The person given this vision says then, he goes on to say, and I quote, I heard the emergency broadcast system throughout the neighborhood and went to watch. Fires were started throughout the United States, the main body of which was caused by an unexpected meteor. Notice that they're not talking about Apophis anymore. They're talking about other near-Earth objects. The distraction, the censorship is in. I will not forget about Apophis. But I don't plan to be here. I'll tell you why. It goes on to say the shuttle was forced to land because of the meteor showers. Or a lot of people threw it away because, like, oh, well, space shuttle program and Challenger and everything else, that's all gone. There are space shuttles. They're using all kinds of vehicles and things. Anyway. So it could be any ship shuttle-like object that was thrown to the ground because of the meteors and because there were meteor showers. It says, when the burning objects hit the ground, they started oil, coal, and gas fires all the way from Texas to Virginia. Events that I saw, but I'm not sure their order, were an earthquake affecting the east coast of the United States. So, okay, so there's your great earthquake. Large amounts of water affecting the east coast, power outage, or it could be the great earthquake. But again, it's hard because when you study Dr. David O'Rourke's visions and so many other dozens and dozens and dozens of visions, there appear to be earthquake events. Well, we got the Cascadia subduction zone event that is yet to occur. There's another possible major, like 9+, 10+ earthquake that is highly likely to happen in Southern California as well. Watch the movie 10.5. It talks about that, and it uses a lot of scientific fact associated with the cracker crust that California actually is from a geological standpoint, with lots of cracks in it. Okay, but listen, he goes on to say, he says, this was the most amazing part of the dream, and there is no way to describe the changes with the people that were gathered into groups. They were so beautiful, but nothing like I could describe. They looked like pure perfection and were no longer bound by any force on the earth. I myself could go anywhere he's basically implying that he felt that he could go anywhere instantly, but he remembers. Now, see, he's reflecting back, and he says, I remember being attracted to a large blue object sitting above the earth. I felt so incredibly drawn to this object, a huge object. As he was being pulled up away from the earth. And by the way, the video that this individual included in their YouTube includes sneakers and blue jeans as the person is moving up into the air. Found that interesting. Second rapture vision from the Blue 21 article. The appearance of a large sphere in the sky. This is David Doetry. It's circa 1998, and it was rejected because people don't believe in aliens. They don't get it, especially Christianity. So anyway, it says, there is going, never mind the Illuminati playing card and all that other stuff. But anyway, it just goes on and on and on and on. Quote, this is the David Doetry vision. There is going to appear above the earth in the sky a strange object. It will be large and sphere-shaped, like a ball. It will look like it's been built into sections like a football with huge rivets at the seams. Many will call this a UFO. I don't know. Remember, it's 1998, okay, right? It will have the color of a kind of like a copper or bronze-ish color. It will be on every TV around the world. People will be shocked, like the World Trade Center event. People will be glued to their TVs, but you don't. Now remember, this is a little preface, okay, that he's writing about this, because he originally received it back in the late 90s. He was on the show and he talked about that. The minute that you see this, run to the closest food store and get enough canned food and water for about 3 weeks. Now be careful with time. I suggest that you do these things in advance now. Okay, I strongly suggest. Beanie weenies, whatever you want to get. If it's canned, it'll last. It'll be fine. But he says 3 weeks. A lot of prophecies, dreams, and visions get their time distortion a little off. So don't get a bee in your bonnet if it's not exactly that amount of time. Just be ready. Because it says between then and roughly 24 hours, this object, after this object is seen worldwide, there is going to be a massive impact or collision on our sun's surface. It is going to happen on our blind side. We won't see it coming. It's going to be a supersized twin asteroid hitting the sun in a vital spot, releasing a major solar storm, knocking out all of Earth's electricity around the world. That is not the 3 days of darkness. Those of you who read this will save yourself and your family much misery. He says, now this is what's going to happen in the 2 to 3 weeks after the electricity goes off. Within a few days, the whole world will start to go crazy with hunger. Banks and ATMs won't be able to work without electricity. The gas pumps and food for transportation, no refrigeration, total darkness. The robbers, the rapists, the murderers will see right away that no one can call the police for help because the solar storm has burned up the communications and the satellites, the cell phones. Okay, you see how this is all connecting back to the other one where the guy saw the blue object above him? Ah, it keeps on going. Says the law can't even call one another. It's going to go. It's going to be total breakdown in large cities. There will be gunshots and screams all night long. Millions will be behind locked doors, praying and begging for God's mercy, hallelujah, and help and protection. He will answer millions of prayers. Millions will ask for forgiveness, and the Lord and His saints will perform millions of miracles during these 3 weeks. Now, he goes on to say, then after about 3 weeks of this, the rapture will happen. After there are different time zones, because there are different time zones around the world, the Lord showed me that it will be nighttime here in Florida because he lived about an hour south of me. I'm in Tampa. And it says, in this vision, I was taken in spirit out into the woods behind my house in Florida. So he's standing out behind his house in Florida. This is very important because Florida is not going to exist after that meteor splashes into the Atlantic Ocean, which I think is almost certainly Apophis 2029. Florida's gone. But he's standing outside of his house. How is that possible? Then it goes on. It says, during the spring or early summer, Shavuot, barley harvest. He said, it started at night. I didn't hear any trumpets or words come up hither. That's right. But I know there's going to be, that's right, the people that are leaving will hear it. The rest of the believers won't. They'll think everything's fine. Well, not really, but you know what I'm saying. The people who are getting called up are the ones who hear the rapture. I have so many prophecies, dreams, and visions on that. Oh, boy. So it goes on and says, as I was standing there in the spirit, of course, in the middle of some trees, a huge blue beam of light came down like a big flashlight about a 30-foot circle around me. The blue light was identical in color to a welder's arc light. It was so blinding, and I put my hands over my eyes to see if I could see where it was coming from. And then I noticed off in the distance, night sky, north, south, east, and west, and west of me, blue-colored stars jetting off the ground and spiraling upwards and fast. They were heading toward a bright blue object in the sky that was shining that beam of light down on me. It could have been the Lord, or maybe an open door to heaven. I really couldn't tell, but it was so bright. It's all connecting. And there's more to it, and you can read it if you want to go to tribulationnow.com, two ends in the middle. Just keep scrolling down through the articles until you see at the top, the article picture will be a blue, it says the blue object, is this the blue object coming? Because there were people that were seeing in telescopes and such, a very large blue object. So I embedded these articles together in there. There have also been sightings of what appear to be a copper spherical mechanical giant mothership object that had been, people are keep saying there, oh, it's Planet X. No, it's not Planet X. These have been sighted, so I put a picture of it. A shout out to Brother Jim. Brother Jim, thank you so much for sending me these Larsen Bay, Alaska. The FAA and these various cameras that are used up there, okay, they show up in the sky. You can see them. I have an image of that on this same article. Again, the article is called Rapture Events, What Will Happen to Warn Us It's Coming? And then it has this blue object on a blackish colored background. Is this the blue object coming? So that's the one you want to go to if you want to read over this. But there's one more piece to the puzzle. Well, there's two more pieces to the puzzle, and I don't want to run out of time. So Pastor Sory Park has a vision. Pastor Sory Park is taken into heaven. And when he was taken into heaven, he met with Jesus. And I'm going to cut to the chase because I'm running out of time. It says, with much traffic in the area, he's actually seeing the vision of the rapture happening right now. With much traffic in the area, cars were moving slowly. There would not be many people who were ascending into the air under these circumstances, which gave him some idea of how much spiritually corrupted the cities have become, etc. He says, I was looking down at the scene high up in the air, and I asked Jesus, what will the world say about the people being raised up into the air, Jesus? And Jesus said, NASA of the United States will make an announcement that thousands of UFOs from distant planet in the universe surrounded the entire Earth and abducted numerous people around the world with a powerful ultramodern, you know, and he says sucking machine, which of course, you know, is probably trying to, but anyway, NASA. Here's the thing. Is there going to be a NASA after the great earthquake? Is there going to be a NASA after a 1,000-foot mega tsunami washes all over the United States and Africa and up into the whole world is going to shake? It's probably billions of people are going to die at that time. It's going to be pretty bad. This is the kickoff to the day of the Lord. No, there's not going to be any NASA. No, David Doetry is not going to be standing in this backyard in Florida. Florida is going to be underwater. With maybe a very few, very small part of it. I doubt it, though. I think the whole thing's going under. But judging by, but wait a minute. So then you have the testimony of this lady. Her son was taken to heaven. He had suffered a near-drowning death experience and was in the hospital. But when he was taken to heaven, he met with Jesus during this time. Listen to her telling the testimony of, and the title of it is, 10-year-old boy dies, goes to heaven, and is told of World War III and demonic fallen angels invading the earth. How about that? Here's a tidbit of that. Now, remember that NASA comes on TV and tells everybody that the aliens took them.
And he said, grab my hand. And my son said he took his hand. And he said, next thing I knew, Mom, he says, I was flying in the air. He said, I was flying way up in the clouds. And he said, the clouds looked like little cotton balls. And he said, I was flying way up, and we kept on going way, way, way up past space and past everything. And he said, I could see the planets and that. And he said, he went far, far up. And he said, Jesus took him to the city.
The city of the living God.
I said, what kind of city was it? And he said, well, everything was kind of crystallized, like everything looked kind of crystally and shiny. He said the streets were actually paved with gold, and they were very shiny and sparkly. And he said there were many mansions there, and they were all sparkly, and they looked like big castles and just beautiful. And he said everything, all the colors were like more beautiful there than they are here on Earth. That there were a lot of babies there. And he said, Mom, I couldn't understand why there were so many babies in this place. He said they had these workers that would take care of these babies until someone in their family had come up there to, you know, take care of them. He said there were workers for everything up in heaven. And he said everybody was loving. He said it was like you were all one big happy family. And he said, Mom, I never felt so much love in a place in my whole entire life. He said, even though I loved you, I didn't want to come back. He said, I was so happy. I felt so much love. He said, I could fly. He said, if I had a thought in my mind, if I thought, well, I wonder if this is going to happen. He said, it was like the answer came to him automatically. He said, it's like when you go to heaven that your mind is transformed and you instantly have the mind of Jesus. You instantly have powers and you have abilities and things. He said, well, then I asked the rock and roll dude. He said, Jesus, but he said the rock and roll dude. He said, then I asked him, what's going to happen, you know, with my mom and my brother and everything. He said he was shown the future. He said he was shown that there was going to be a World War III that was going to take place on the earth. He said his brother was going to get into the army and that his brother was going to get on the wrong side in life, which he's referring to my son, Daniel. He said he was going to get on the wrong side in life, but he would figure it out in the end. I asked him, I said, well, where was I during this World War III? He said, you were not on Earth. He said, you were already in heaven. Apparently, I'm going to be up in heaven before this happens.
I have to stop it at this point. The little boy goes on and he explains how these alien demons fly down in spaceships and they're all part of World War III. It's like he even tells his mother that how horrific it is, these alien demons. People don't need to be afraid of the war. They need to be afraid of these alien demons, you see. Okay, people say alien demons. They're fallen angelic beings. They're flying in real spaceships. Just like it says in 2 Esdras 15, verse 28. The dragons of Arabia will fly like eagles on the wind, and all those who see them will fear and tremble. And then Luke, men's hearts failing them for fear of those things that are coming upon the earth. But did you hear what he just told his mom? You won't be here, Mom. And neither will we. Because we're going to pray always to be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass. We are going to practice righteousness. We are going to continuously examine our behaviors. We're going to read Galatians 5:19 and understand what sin is. We're going to read Colossians 3 and understand what sin is. 1 Corinthians 5, read about it. And at least one of the Gospels. Repent. Change. If you need help, if you have a behavior that you're struggling with, you cuss a lot, or whatever it is. Whatever it is, get on your knees and beseech God. Lean into it emotionally. Remember, in 2 Kings 20, verse 5, King Hezekiah sought God. And God responds to him and says, I have seen your tears, and I will answer you. Lean into it. Pray. God will help you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as Jesus is righteous. It's a capital H in the text that use uppercase letters to indicate that it's Jesus or our Father. It's not too late. I don't care how bad your past was, it's not too late. This is exciting. We are so close right now. When is this all going to happen? Is it going to drive us nuts? Are we going to continue to be frustrated because we can't talk to anybody because we feel, because we want to get it out? Now, at least for me anyway, it becomes crystal clear, no pun intended. Okay, maybe. How it all fits together. She's gone before the alien demons arrived during World War III. How close are we now? Has World War III already started? I wouldn't want to be left on the earth for the wheat harvest. I would want to make the first Philadelphia Two Wings of a Great Eagle departure. Because it's going to get downright ugly for those who have to go in and ultimately end up doing the final harvest. But we'll still see them. I don't want to be here for that great earthquake. I don't want to be here for the full-blown hot World War III when aliens are coming down upon the earth. I want to be ready for that big copper-shaped ball. And isn't it fascinating, if you go to Google or whatever search engine you desire, but type in brass colored ball or round structure or something. Actually, you don't even have to do that. Just go to the article that I told you about where it has the just a kind of like a black background and a big blue circle in the middle. It says, is this the blue object coming? Because at the bottom of that, you will see where I've captured photographs of these spherical copper Death Star-like motherships that are all over the world. But the first two places that this sculpture was made were put in the Vatican Library, outside of it, and the United Nations. That would be the arrival, almost for sure. The moment in time of true disclosure. And it will be moments, not too long thereafter, that we leave. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I hope that this has blessed you, benefited you, makes you wonder, scratch your head, lead you to the Bible, put you on your knees, because we are very close to leaving. How long? Is it going to be a couple of years? I don't know. Is it going to break loose this year? Could be. Looks like it kind of is already. God bless each and every one of you. In accordance with Matthew 18:19, Father, where you said, Jesus, you told us, where two or more are gathered on earth concerning anything that they ask, it shall be given them by my Father in heaven. Lord, we're on earth. We ask you, please, in Jesus' name, please help us and count us worthy, because we'll never be worthy on our own accord. In the parable of the tax collector and the Pharisee, we are all tax collectors. We rent our robes in tears before you. It is your worthiness, not ours. But we're going to try as hard as we can to be without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that we should be holy and without a blemish. Count us worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah and amen. Pray that you are all blessed. And until next time, thank you, Jesus.